And good morning, friends. Here we are, midsummer, and I hope that this summer is a time of refreshing in your life. And as the song we have just sung says, be still and know that I am God. I hope you're finding times for stillness, for reflection, and for being built up in your spirit as we prepare for another season of serving the Lord together. I must confess that I missed being with you last Sunday, but I did bring from a bulletin there. Some of you have been giving me the bulletins that you got when you were at some other church, and it looks like about half of our congregation is visiting other churches today. They say that this Sunday, August, the first Sunday of August, is usually the lowest attendance in church. And I understand why. It's right the middle of the summer and people are every place. But I'm expecting that our Portugal team will bring a bulletin back from where they were this morning. And other people, as they travel, will let us know where they've been. But I'm so glad. How many of you were here last Sunday? Let's see your hands. Aren't you glad you were here last Sunday? God met the congregation here through His Word, as it was so wonderfully proclaimed through the lips of our dear brother Pastor John Rush, seated right there. And I had the joy of hearing him teach this morning in the adult Bible class, and he'll be teaching again next Sunday morning, and I invite all of you to be there just down the hallway. Now, I'd like for you to take your bulletins and notice a little insert that is this color right here, a violet color, because I'd like you to take some notes of what we're going to think about this morning. This first slide that comes up now reminds us of where we've been over the last several months as we've been walking through Romans chapter 12. And if you'll take your Bibles now, please, and turn with me to Romans 12. You maybe recall that verse 1 speaks about Christ's lordship of my body. How blessed is the person who says, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my body. And verse 2 talks about Christ's lordship of my mind. Where's your mind right now? It's kind of hard for me to tell just looking at you. But there is somebody who knows what you're thinking right now. And God knows every thought that passes through my mind. And we want Christ to be Lord of our minds and what we think. And then verse 3 talks about Christ's lordship of my self-worth. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself soberly, according to God, the way God has blessed you. And then verses 4 through 8 talk about Christ's lordship of my giftedness, spiritual gifts that God has given. We notice that verses 9 and 10 talked about Christ's lordship of my love, and verse 11 of my energies. Verse 12, Christ's lordship of my pain when I go through tough times. And verse 12, Christ's lordship, and the second part of the last part of it, Christ's lordship of my prayer life. And then most recently, we chatted in another message from verse 13, Christ's lordship of my resources, distributing to the needs of saints, given to hospitality. Now this morning, I'd like for you to look with me at verse 14. I'd like to call it Christ's lordship of my tough relationships. Has anybody had any tough time with anybody else this week? I hope the Lord's helped you to have grace in whatever you faced. But notice what it says in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now what I'd like to do is for you to see this in the context of verses 9 through the end of the chapter. So with your Bibles open to Romans 12, would you stand with me, please? And I'd like to begin reading with verse 9 as we honor the Lord with His wonderful living word. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. You may be seated. Christ's Lordship of my tough relationships. And our text says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Anybody here been persecuted? Well, around the world today, our brothers and sisters, by the millions, people who know Jesus as Savior and are standing up for His truth, are being persecuted. Some are in prison today, and some will die today because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. Could we just pause right now and pray for them? Oh, Heavenly Father, here we are in God-blessed Canada where we are enjoying such blessing, and yet we're reminded that around the world today in many countries so hostile to the gospel, our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering persecution. We pray for them today. Give them grace to stand true for Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost. We also recognize that here in our beloved Canada, persecution of various sorts is increasing against the gospel message and those who hold to your truth. And we pray, O God, that you will help us, no matter what may develop here in this country in days to come, help us to be faithful to you. But we're also reminded that in families and in businesses and in schools and communities in general, there are difficult times that people go through. And Lord, teach us this lesson today to bless those who persecute us and to bless them and not to curse them. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I was driving my car. I was only about 3 blocks from home. I was on Frederick Street in Kitchener, nearing River Road. And suddenly, a good-sized black dog came darting right out in front of my car, and I hit it. And the dog was traveling so fast that I didn't run over him. He just bounced and went off to the left. I was in the right lane, and he got into the middle lane, and there he lay as a lump of black. And I thought, oh my, I've killed a dog. And I immediately pulled off to the side, and the good lady whose dog it was saw the whole thing happen. She had had him on a leash and just let him off for a moment, and he darted. And I watched as she went and picked up that great big dog and carried it back to the lawn, and I walked over to her and expressed my profound sadness at what had just happened. I told her I was so sorry that I hit her dog. She said, "Oh, it wasn't your fault at all." She said, "He just took off." And I gave her my name and address and said, "Now, if there's any way I can help." But as I stood there, the dog started to move around, and it stood up and looked as healthy as before I'd hit it. Well, I went home, but that evening my phone rang. The husband had come home. And I heard words that I hadn't heard on the phone in a long time. And he told me, he said, "You hit my dog." And he told about how they'd taken it to the vet, and it cost $60 for the appointment. And it says, "You owe me $60. And some other things that he said. And I said, "Do you suppose I could come over and pick you up, and maybe we could go to Tim Hortons and talk about it?" Well, the next morning I picked him up, and I sat with him over a cup of large Tim Horton coffee, and we chatted. And I had three $20 bills, and I just slipped them over there. I said, there's the money to cover that cost for you. And he took it. And I'll tell you the rest of that story in just a few moments. But right now, I'd like you to take that sheet that you've got, and I want for you to notice that sooner or later, each one of us runs into tough relationships, don't we? Someone here may be dreading going to work tomorrow. That's possible. Because you just know that someone is going to give you a hard time. And some of you may have a relative who is really hard to get along with. Or maybe they're living someplace else, but maybe some of us here today may have a family member in our own home who's difficult to live with, who's a pain in the neck, who's causing a family feud. How sad. Sooner or later, and maybe as I'm just chatting here now, you're thinking about tough experiences you've had with somebody. And if you haven't had any yet, cheer up, you will. Sooner or later, it just happens. But I want you to know this, you have the power to bring blessing or cursing to other people. Our text says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." It could be that you are the one who's a pain in the neck to somebody else. How sad that would be. You know, the words that you say this week could be harsh and vindictive. And by how you react this week to a tough relationship, you could cause a little spark to blow up like an atomic bomb. Or you could speak a word of healing, a word of blessing. You know, Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." And Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called," what? Ah, "the sons of God." I want you to think about this meaning of the word blessing. The Greek word eulogeo is a form of two words, eu meaning good or well, and logeo, that logo, is a word. To speak well is what it means, a good word, to speak well. So when somebody gives a eulogy, that's where we get that word from. You're speaking well of somebody. And that word Benedict. Did you know we've got, I don't see Laura here today, but we have Laura Benedict in our congregation here. That's a good name because that's speaking a blessing. That's what it means, to bless. And may God make every one of you, you don't have to be Pope Benedict to bless people. Did you realize that? You can. God wants you to speak and to live blessing to other people. In fact, God gave instructions to the leaders of the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 and following. He said, here's what I want you to say to the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. What a wonderful blessing. Many times in the scriptures we find words of blessing. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, towards the end of that book, the Apostle Paul says this, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And when you come to the very end of the Bible, the last chapter, the last verse, Revelation 22, 21, here's a benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. Now, our text here says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And friends, you have the power. God has given to you the capacity, every one of us here, to be a blessing to people or to hurt them with what we say and how we react to them. And I want to ask this, husbands, are you, how many husbands have we got here today? I'm a husband. Good. Okay, guys. Let me ask this, are you blessing your spouse, your wife, and your children? Oh, may that be true. And if dads will take that leadership, it'll just spread through the whole family. If a dad isn't doing that, and there's a mom who loves the Lord, then mom, you take that leadership. And it may be that parents do not know the Lord, but isn't it interesting how a child, a young person who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, when you walk into that house where maybe there is discontent and problems, where mom and dad maybe don't even love each other the way they ought, and yet that child who knows the Lord, who knows the blessing of God in their lives, can come into that home and bring blessing to that family. Now, there are different kinds of blessings that I want you to think about, and I've given a little space in your notes so you could write these things down. These two men, Gary Smalley and John Trent, in their book, The Blessing, that's the name of the book, give these practical ways to bless other people. The first one is meaningful touch. And by the way, I see that happening right here in our wonderful church family at Temple. A lot of it takes place right out there in the foyer, the narthex, where we're either coming in or we're going out, but we are connecting with each other. And I don't see you standing with your hands behind your back and say, hi. No, usually it's there. A handshake, a meaningful handshake, or maybe an appropriate touch on the shoulder or on the forearm, just to let you know I'm interested in you and you mean something to me and I want to bless you. And I don't know how many times do you suppose you've said the word, God bless you? I'm sure that's come out of your mouth, you who know the Lord, maybe hundreds or thousands of times. May we always mean it, and may we be a blessing to those who are around us. But there's something about an appropriate touch. Now, we have a developmentally challenged son, as many of you know. One of our five children is, in fact, we plan to have him with us tonight. Stephen will be with us in the evening service tonight. But Stephen has a hard time talking because of the mal shape in his mouth. His palate is very high and very narrow, and he can he can hardly understand what we often have a hard time figuring out what he's trying to say. He knows. We wish we knew. But he'll reach out and touch you because he wants to make that connection. Though his words don't do it very well, he wants to have that connection. So if he touches you tonight, you just know he just wants to have communication with you. Or maybe he'll put his hand on your shoulder. Which shoulder is it usually that gets hit? About the left shoulder? And we've kind of joked that over at Benton Street, we're the church of the stooped left shoulder, because Stephen just puts his hand on there, and because he knows it's going to take him a while to get out what he wants to say. He just wants to hang on to you to make sure that you hear everything. And we try to encourage him not to do that touching, but still, it's just part of him. And there's something, though, about a meaningful, appropriate touch, isn't there? And through that touch can be a blessing. And it's a wonderful thing when parents can do that. There are some dads who never touch their kids. There are other dads who can just bring a blessing on that son or that daughter with just a meaningful touch. And not only that, the spoken words, encouragement. And when you do that touch, to just give a word of encouragement, oh, how much potential there is for every one of us to bless somebody else by speaking a positive, encouraging word. And there's another way to do it, and that is to express high value in what we say, and we can call that compliments. How wonderful it is when you're chatting with your family members to begin with, and then beyond that, to point out things that they are doing that are commendable. Yesterday, in fact, during the last 3 days, I have been painting. As some of you know, we are in the midst of remodeling our home. Our son Dan and his wife have asked to buy our home. Adrian and me live in the in-law suite that 27 years ago my parents moved into. They're now with the Lord. Now we're a generation later doing the same thing again. And now we're into the in-law suite, and now we're working on the main part of the house, getting it all remodeled. So you'll still see some paint on my fingers. But my grandchildren, Dan's son and daughter, Greg and Allison, 17 and, is he 17?
Almost 18.
Almost 18, and 18 and 14, working along and painting as well. And on several occasions during these last 3 days, I've just said a word, hey, listen, I like the way you're doing that. And I commented to their parents as well. I'm impressed that these kids are learning how to work and how to hang in there over the long haul, many hours a day, and do the job. Now, it's wonderful how a word well spoken can encourage another person, whether it be younger or older. All of us need that. And then there's another way that we can pass on a blessing, and it's to picture a special future. What do we mean by that? Well, just to comment about how your things are going to be in when you get on into the future, and especially those of us who know the Lord, our glorious future is heaven, isn't it? And to just picture that. But it's wonderful to talk to young people, for instance, about as you get older and as you continue to develop those skills, just think about how you are going to be able to accomplish this, that, or the other thing, and to picture that special future. And not only that, but Gary Smalley and John Trent in their book give another way to pass on a blessing, and that is to determine to make that blessing a reality. I'm going to now back up what I've said with how I live and relate to that person. So much more could be said about that, but let's move on here. I want you to think of this with me, that Jesus is our example of what it means to pass on a blessing. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, I want you to see something that Peter tells about Jesus, whom he knew very well. And it says this, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. What does that verse say? Peter's talking about Jesus before he was crucified, on trial, and all of the scourgings and the spittings and all the bad things said to him. And then the crucifixion of this Savior, he did not speak ill will of those people. What a wonderful Savior, this wonderful Savior we have. And in Luke chapter 23, here we find Jesus now at the cross. And I want you to see his example to us here. Luke chapter 23, look at verse 34. Verse 33 says, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and one and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you'll go back to chapter 6 of this same book, chapter 6 of Luke, and look, please, at verse 27. Luke 6, I'm glad you got your Bibles. I can hear those pages turning. And here's what Jesus says about how we relate to other people. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. That's Jesus' instruction to us as to how we deal with people who are giving us a tough time. Now, I'd like to ask a question. How can I bless the hard to bless? People who are giving me a tough time. Let me suggest these seven things here. First of all, forgive those who have hurt you. That's what Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, that we are to express forgiveness to people who give us a tough time. And that can often be a very difficult thing to do. But here's what Paul says to us. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So forgiveness is the attitude. So I want you to think right now. It may be that on your own mental screen is the face of somebody who is a tough issue for you, bringing pain into your life. May I encourage you right now to be able to write over that picture, forgiven. I forgive you. That's tough, isn't it? But that's the first step here that Jesus says, and we should forgive each other. How? In the same way that God in Christ has forgiven us. In the wonderful prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, and forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive those who trespass against us. And so forgiveness is so essential. If you want to bless somebody, a hard-to-bless person, may God give us a capacity to forgive. And then there's a second thing I want you to see, and it's this. See people in the light of eternity. What I mean by that is this. Consider them to be, what's it going to be like when the Lord Jesus comes again, oh, how wonderful it would be if they would come to know Jesus as Savior and be found perfected in Him. So if you can see that person as a never-dying soul whom God loves and for whom Jesus died on the cross, and then bless that person in prayer and think of what they can be when Christ comes into their life. There's another thing I'd like to suggest, and that is be proactive and not reactionary. Don't wait for the other person to start being nice to you. Take the initiative. What could you do? Well, maybe there's something you could do. Maybe a phone call. Maybe a letter. Maybe a gift. But expressing in some way that even though you sense their hostility towards you, you are coming back with the love of Jesus Christ flowing from your life to them. So be proactive, not reactionary. What good thing will you do tomorrow for that person who rubs you the wrong way? Somebody at work, maybe. Maybe it's a neighbor. But may God help you right now to be thinking, what kind of a positive, proactive action can I take to bless that person? Let me suggest another thing. Leave revenge to God. God will eventually make everything right. And I want you to see what it says. We're going to look at this, Lord willing, in a later message and a little more thoroughly. But notice verse 17 and following. Here's what it says in our text of Romans 12. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. So leave it in God's hands. Can you just dump it over on Him? Say, Lord, I got a problem here with that guy, but can I just put that over on you? The Lord's willing to take that, and He's willing to let you just be the person who blesses that person. So leave revenge to God. Another thing I'd like to suggest to you, and that is love people like God does. And how does He love? Unconditionally. His love flows even though we react against God. Oh my. Ask God for that gift of love for that difficult person. You know, in 1 John 4:19, we read this, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. And, you know, Jesus, God loved us even while we were red-handed rebel sinners, didn't He? Just think back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Which says this, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners fighting against Him, Christ died for us. That's unconditional love. Oh, may God help us to love that way. Not if you will do this, then I will do this. But no matter what you do, I'll continue to love you, to pray for you, and I want to bless you. I want you to see something else. Thank God for His blessing on your life. Even though maybe that person is bringing persecution and hardship to you, you know that God is always eager to pour out His blessing on you. So don't leave it up to that other person to cause you to feel victory in your life. Did you realize nobody can steal your personal victory from you? Nobody. If you will trust Jesus. Now, sometimes when a person gives us a hard time, it just causes our whole mind to focus on that, and we forget that God still loves me, and He will still continue to give me personal victory in this situation, even though I can't find it any encouragement from that other person. And then I want you to see another thing here. Thank God, as we mentioned, for His blessing on your life, and then be a channel of God's blessing to other people. God wants you to be a channel. When we were in Israel, we became aware of this great pipeline that comes down from the Sea of Galilee and brings water to the otherwise many parched areas of that land so that it now blooms like a rose. And a channel, the pipe, is what brings the water there. And what's needed is water, but it's got to have a channel. And God has made it possible for you and I to be channels of blessing to other people. And may God help us to do that. Now, I was mentioning to you this fella who I took then to coffee. And as we chatted, and I'd given him the money that he'd said I owed him for the veterinarian costs for his dog that I'd hit, he happened to notice, I hadn't planned this, but I happened to be wearing at that time a golf shirt, and on the side here it said Christian Horizons. And his eye happened to catch that, and he said, "How do you know about that?" So I told him the story of how we were involved with that ministry, and his face began to brighten up. He said, "You know, in Christian Horizons we have about 240 vans that we lease, and when the leases expire, then those vans are put up for sale by the companies from which we lease." And this man had purchased several of those vans and fixed them up and resold them. And he told me that story. and then he said, "Oh, hey, here's this $60. Take it back." I said, no, I want you to keep that. I mean that." We chatted some more, and he said, "Well, here's this $60. I want you to take that back." I said, "No, I want you to keep that." And finally, as I chatted with him and was able to share something of the gospel message, this man told me that he was from Iran and that he had escaped from Iran because of the persecution that he was feeling there as a Baha'i believer. If you don't know about the Baha'i religion, it's a religion that was started over 100 years ago in Iran, and the Baha'i faith believes in bringing together the best elements of Judaism and Christianity and Islam and putting it all together. They have a big, beautiful, golden-topped temple on the hill in Haifa, and in Israel, and that's their world headquarters now. But because of the persecution that the Islamists were giving to the Baha'is, he escaped and came to Canada. And so I chatted with him about the gospel, and then took him back to his home. The next day, he came to our home with a gift. And several months later, at Christmas time, he came to our home again with another gift, a beautiful box for jewelry. No jewelry in it, but a beautiful box for jewelry. But what he was trying to do was to express thanks. And I thought, my, what a change. From the first words that I heard come out of that guy's mouth on the phone to now. And that fella and his wife have moved away now. They're not living near us, so we don't have any more connection with them now. But God can use any Christian in any difficult situation to bring blessing instead of cursing. And may God help us to do that. Sometimes we feel like we're in the middle of something really tough. Adrian was just reading to me this, Living in the Middle by Tim Lane and Paul Tripp. This is a chapter, and I won't read it all to you, but a little bit of it, from their book called A Mess Worth Making. And here's what it says, and we're feeling this right now. We had this vision, we're going to remodel the house, and that'll be great, nice vision. And when it's done, that's going to be nice too, isn't it? But now we're living in the middle. And some of us are maybe living in the middle of other things, including difficult times, maybe difficult times with other people. But here's what he says, just a few words. It is always harder to live in the middle of something than it is to live at the beginning or the end. When you are at the beginning of something, you are filled with a sense of hope and potential. And people at the end tend to be filled with relief and gratitude and a sense of accomplishment. But people in the middle usually discover that more work is involved than they ever expected. Yeah, I can say that. Amidst the hard work, it is difficult to keep your standards high and your hope alive. You are tempted to settle and compromise. And in the middle, thankfulness often degrades into complaint and hope decays into resignation. And that's what often can happen in families, and that's when bad words start coming out and ill will and all this tribulation that begins to happen between friends whose people should be friends. Because we're living in the middle. The problem with relationships is that they all take place right smack dab in the middle of something. And if you were to try take it back a ways as to why those harsh words came to you from somebody, it probably was because it was in the middle of something that was difficult. You and I never get to be married to a fully sanctified spouse, except my wife. No, excuse me, not even I am sanctified fully. We will never be in a relationship with a completely mature friend. We will never live next to a neighbor utterly free of the need to grow and change. We will never have self-parenting children. We will never be near people who always think, desire, say, or do the right things. And the reason for all this is that our relationships are lived between the already and the not yet. Already, Jesus has come to provide salvation for us, but his saving work is not yet complete. Already the power of sin has been broken, but the presence of sin has not yet been eradicated, as it will be. Already we have grown and changed in many ways, but we are not yet all we will be in Christ. Already we have seen the defeat of sin in many ways, but its final defeat has not yet taken place. Our life with others is always life in the middle. And that's when all the problems come, isn't it? And so let's take this Bible verse and put it on top of everything in the middle. And what does it say again? Verse 14, Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And you're not going to be able to do that, and I'm not going to be able to do that, unless we have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's my final word. Make sure your relationship with the Lord Jesus is strong. Can I ask you this question? Have you personally received Jesus as your Savior? You can't really do this without Him living in you. I'm so grateful that last Sunday, I heard this wonderful report that a number of folk in this auditorium, after that wonderful message that Pastor John Rush preached, and he gave this quiet invitation that if the Lord was speaking to your heart and you wanted to get right with Him and make sure you're personally ready for heaven and that you have received His salvation, and a number of people in this auditorium just simply gave that testimony with an upraised hand. Aren't you glad for that? And let me say, unless you have made that personal commitment to Jesus Christ, it will be impossible for you to know the fullness of the blessing of blessing people rather than cursing people. So may I ask you this? Would you just ask the Lord, "Oh, Father, I just want to be a blessing to everybody I can. I want to be a channel for that blessing. But Lord, I need to make sure my relationship with You is solid and strong, that I've received Jesus as my Savior, and that I'm walking in newness of life with Him, and I'm enjoying His presence in my life continually." May that be true for every one of us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, how we thank You for how practical the Bible is. And we thank You that You've taught us to bless those who give us a hard time, to bless them and not curse them. And I pray that this week You will help every one of us to be a blessing to everybody that we meet, especially to those in our own households, those with whom we work, to our neighbors, Lord, who watch our lives. May they sense that blessing is flowing from our homes to our neighborhoods. And help us, Lord, to know that we can only be that blessing as we live close to You, as we allow Jesus Christ to live within us and to empower us so that we can be channels of His blessing to our needy world. In Jesus' name, amen.